Force on Force features the largest and strongest outdoor military organization in the country. These are the men and women who make it possible to enjoy the freedom to hunt and fish. It is with great pride that we bring you Force on Force podcast, coming to you from the Force on Force talk.
Hey, welcome to the Force on Force podcast, and this is Sean Dowerpole, your host. We're here in the Force on Force talk. We start everything in the Tactical Operations Center. All our shows start there, and all our military operations start there. This is really unique for me because this is going to be my first Force on Force talk podcast on the road. Got a 3-week stretch. I'm here on the road, so very, very excited to try and bring this new part of what we're doing with all our branches and bass, buck, hog, duck, and redfish to you, and doing it from the road. So just like in many military operations, we have a mobile talk sometimes, and that's what we're doing right now. But this one's going to be kind of cool because we want to talk today about a hot topic, which is forward-facing sonar. To do that, I'm going to bring in one of the bass guys, Brent Hill. Welcome, Brent Hill. And how you doing?
Man, I'm doing good, Sean. How are you?
Good. So a little bit of background. Brent Hill is, man, Brent's like myself, man. We're electronics junkies, in particular, Orient's guys, man. I live and breathe, and that's kind of where I cut my teeth in the fishing side was with Navico and Lowrance. And so forward facing sonar is a big topic for us, and we're going to discuss that because there's a lot of controversy about what's going on with forward facing sonar, and we want to discuss that. But more importantly, Brent, you know, Brent's a lieutenant colonel, field artillery guy, and got a lot of background, 26 years of active duty service?
Coming up.
Yeah. Yeah. So battalion commander right now. So really cool to have Brent as part of this. He's done some really cool things in his career and a very knowledgeable. And I think that's what's really cool about what we do. We have the technical background from what we did in the military, and that really translates really well to understanding this stuff on the fishing and hunting side. And that's why I think Brent and I have been very successful with Lowrance and Navico on the teaching from a sonar perspective and in that perspective. Is that kind of how you see it, Brent?
Yeah. Like you said, combined with both of us, we've probably been with Lowrance for 20 plus years. And anytime that new sonar comes out, we are usually on the cutting edge of doing product development and testing for Lowrance. But more importantly, we like to teach it, like you said, to other people too. And I kind of still do that to this day. So yeah, teaching is a big part of it, but you got to understand it. And I think we're going to get into that.
Yeah. And I think part of our understanding is you and I have been, man, with what we've done in the military, man, we're constantly having new technology thrown at us throughout our careers. But I did my first part of my career as an infantry guy, and I had some very cool stuff thrown to me downrange. And you're a field artillery guy, especially then when I got over into the signal world, man, I was all the time on the cutting edge. And so you got to be comfortable with change. We always talk about that. Change is a big deal, and I think we're seeing that in the fishing world right now, and there's a lot of controversy around that change. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I would. I mean, it was just like, I think it was a couple years ago, and you and I were talking about GPS and self-locating systems and how we were talking about how that translated from, you know, military equipment and self-locating systems, specifically howitzers and mortars, to what's on our boats and using the .1 and everything and how that really helps you. But now we're talking about something that's totally more technologically advanced with forward-facing sonar. And yeah, it's a topic. It's the elephant in the room, if you would say.
Yeah, I would tell you that's the big thing. Boat tours, where it's the BASS or the MLF, you get on any kind of fishing forum, you see anything on Facebook, you see everybody's talking about it right now. Forward facing sonar, whether it's good for fishing, whether it's bad, no, you know, you say, oh, I don't want to watch a tournament with forward facing sonar. And then you got everybody on the other side that says, you know, adapt or you know, die. I mean, it's, how do you kind of feel about that from your perspective?
I like forward facing sonar. I like side scan, down imaging, 2D. I like the tech stuff. Like you said, I'm a techie. I don't get the controversy because it seems like you got two camps. You got a camp on the left that really is all for it. You got a camp on the right that absolutely hates it. But you have a little bit, a few people, they really don't care, and they're kind of in the middle. But there's a lot of the top names in the sport and on both of the big tours that have been pretty vocal about it. I watched a podcast early this morning before getting after work, and they were talking about the last two Bass events at Fork and at Toledo Bend. You know, the majority of that discussion wasn't about the fishing. It was about forward facing sonar. So, you know, the tournament trails are all over it at the pro level. So it's a big topic of discussion.
You know, it's funny you brought up side scan and down imaging. It's almost like we had the same discussion around 2008, 2009, when, you know, side imaging became kind of the new thing, and then down imaging around 2009 when Lowrance was the first kind of come out with it in 2009 yep. and 10. You know, everybody's talking, oh, you know, it's running tournament fishing, it's running fishing, and we had the same discussion back then, and it's almost the same deal. So kind of, you know, it's not something that it's new to the industry. I think we've had the same discussion around electronics on boats for, as we continue to develop it, you're going to continue to have these discussions. So people are just having to adapt to it. So I don't think that it's an issue being new to that discussion. I think I don't really know how to frame it other than, you know, people are just, they don't like change. They're comfortable in the way they do things. I think I see a lot of people, not just, and I'm talking every fisherman now, not just the tournament thing. The people say they don't want to watch it. Is it because they don't want to have to learn how to use it? Because I get this question a lot. I'm sure you do too. When we teach classes, give me a cheat sheet. Give me a simple way to figure out how to use my electronics, and now we're introducing forward facing sonar. And so that's a whole new thing that we got to add to the equation. They want a cheat sheet on that. And there's really no cheat sheet other than just getting out there in time on the water. Is that how you see that part of it?
Oh, 100% agree. When I do teaching, you know, on the water teaching lessons, you know, I'll show, you know, the client, hey, these are my settings of, you know, I'll go up or down on these basic settings and, you know, teach people, you know, where I try to keep the screen and, you know, lure brightness and fish brightness, all that business, but also try to teach them the why behind it. You know, we talk about cone width and feet by, you know, how far it's out as far as distance in front of the boat, and try to give them a little bit of background so they can visualize in their head how this technology is working so they can become a better angler. Because before, and you brought up side scan, down scan, or down imaging, you know, we were talking about just idling around looking for, you know, drop offs on points and humps, and, you know, even when mapping came out, that was a thing where people were like, oh, it's going to cause all the, you know, we're going to catch all the fish in the lake. That's not true. You know, we used to fish, what, 15, 20% of the lake, all right, these spots. And now what we're seeing with forward face sonar is that there's fish using a lot of that lake that we didn't even think they lived or stayed or swam in. Right. So I don't know. I like it. I think it's a useful tool, but again, it's a tool. You got to know how to use it. And I think the first thing, in my opinion, is you got to understand what it is instead of just throwing it on your boat, putting it on 85% gain, you know, 85 feet out at 25 feet and start, you just automatically catch fish. You got to have time on the water.
I think that's key. I mean, I tell people a lot when they ask me that question, hey, give me a cheat sheet. The first thing I tell them is this: take all your rods and reels out of your boat, leave them at the house, and go spend a day on the water with your units. You want to learn how to use forward facing sonar? You want to use, you do that, right? Because here's the deal. It's nothing but time on the water. You spend one good day out there figuring that out, learning what it looks like, learning what things are. It's going to help you throughout the year. I think that's why I think there's a big issue with it, because you got to figure it out. I sometimes feel guilty because I think you and I, and just all military guys in general, we kind of have a leg up on it. To me, when I look at forward facing sonar, to me, it's nothing more than ISR from downrange, you know, getting a feed from a predator or a drone, right? And so for me, it's an easy visualization to be able to see what I'm seeing on the screen. And so But I always say this. I always go back to learning what it is. I can have the same active target forward facing sonar, but be on two different boats, and it's still going to take me a little bit of time because each boat's set up a little bit different. The way that angle of that transducer is going to need to be adjusted a little bit different, and so there's no substitute with just spending time with your electronics. And I think that's what everybody misses, and that's what they don't want to do is spend that time in the water. They don't want. They're so afraid that if they spend a little bit of time working on their electronics, it's going to take away from their fishing. And I think that's, to me, one of the biggest reasons there's such a fight with, oh, forward-facing sonar is going to run fishing, because they don't want to take the time to learn it. And really, if they'll just take a day to go out there and do it, their fishing for the rest of the year will be a whole lot better for them. And that's what I kind of tell them, you know?
Well, I mean, let's relate this to military training, right? The more time you got on the range, putting in the work, honing your craft, the better you're going to be behind the trigger. The more time, this correlates directly to on the water. The more time you are working that active target screen, making those simple minor adjustments, the better you're going to be at targeting these fish. I mean, that's a simple correlation for us, you know, practice. And it makes perfect.
It does. And I think that's where we kind of get it. And that's what I want to kind of communicate out. And that kind of transition to what we wanted to kind of talk about is what are some of our kind of our tips and techniques? Because you and I both believe in it. We know it's not going to go anywhere. We love it. Yeah. I mean, we know it's a real game changer, probably the most overused term in the industry, but it really does kind of change the way you fish. I mean, I always tell people, being on active duty for 22 years, I've got to fish a lot of different places, right? But one place I've never got to go is up north and fish for smallmouth. Grew up fishing for smallmouth on the Tennessee River, loved it, but never got to go up north and fish for smallmouth. So last summer, got to take a trip, spend a whole week up there fishing for smallmouth, and really loved it. And it really was about active target, right? It really came down to use an active target to catch smallmouth up there. And it was just amazing to use it to do that and to target those bigger smallmouth on the outer edges of those schools. So that's what we kind of want to talk about is, and we're going to talk about some of the things that, and whether it's cone width or just where it's down, you know, forward, down, or scout mode, what we use for each one and how we kind of do it. So What do you think is kind of, when we talk about cone size, so that the listeners kind of understand that, kind of lay it out to them, what makes a difference in cone size, Brent?
Well, Lowrance is the leader right now in the cone size. So Lowrance active target is an 18-degree cone angle, right? So when you look at the competitors, and I'm not going to name them, but you look at the other forward-facing sonars, they're a 20-degree cone angle. So what does that mean? When you look at a surface danger zone and you're looking at a rifle range and you know that you are safe on these left and right limits, I correlate it directly to an SDZ, if you will. When I'm looking at distance on an active target at 30 feet at an 18-degree cone angle, it's 9.5 feet of width, okay? About the width of your boat at 30 feet. If you look at the competitors, they're almost 11 feet. That's three more feet or two more feet, if you will, wider. So Lowrance is going to give you a tighter angle or sight picture through your forward facing sonar at 30 feet and all the way out. So when you get out to 90 feet, which I'll give away a little secret, I keep mine on 90 feet distance when I'm fishing for bass. At 90 feet, I'm at 28 feet cone width. The competitors are out there at almost 34. That's 4 feet, right? So when you're throwing at 70, 80, 90 feet to a bass, and I'm sure we'll get into it later and I'll give the listeners some tips on how I'm targeting these bigger than average bass and catching them, you got a better chance at hitting the spot. It may be a tighter cone angle. It may be harder for people to really kind of get used to at the beginning. But once you figure out that cone angle, you can get on target almost every single time. And that's what I like about it. It is, when you talk about active target, it is really a target. You're throwing at that target. That cone angle is important. But Sean, I want to bring something up before we start talking about really cone angle. Let's talk about the beginning of how you can get the best screen,
yeah,
the best the best way to get this product to work for you is power.
Right.
And your wiring harness and setting it up properly with the best battery on the market. You know, 90% of the time that I'm talking to clients or other people that I'm trying to teach this to, they miss these critical components in the powering their systems. So I think we need to address the power issue first.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about that. I talk about that a lot too. And it comes down, I always say, and I'll use very generic terms of this. So I always say, whether you're talking whatever transducer you're talking, right? And I just use 1,000 kilohertz. If you don't have the right power, right? For us, we use Dakota lithium batteries, right? To get the power source. And then I'm running a C-Clear power harness to give me a dedicated wiring harness to run that power all the way to all my units on its own circuit. What I tell people is, if you don't have that set up, if your transducer is ping, and I use 1,000 kilohertz because it's a very generic number and it's easy for people to understand that. If you're not having that, your transducer is not going to ping at 1,000 kilohertz, which affects the clarity of that image on your screen, right? So it's going to ping at maybe 600 kilohertz or maybe 400 kilohertz. Maybe it pings back up to 800 kilohertz. So that's why you get a lot of people that you, and I know that you've heard them say that, well, my screen doesn't look like anything I saw in the demo model, or it doesn't look like anything I see. And that's because their power is not, they don't have the right battery set up, and they don't have it on its own separate C-Clear harness to provide power, a steady power source to get the maximum of that transducer pinging at what it's designed to ping at, right? If it's whatever it is, whether it's 1,000 kilohertz, 800, whatever it was designed to ping at, it's not going to do that because it's not getting enough amps going to it. And that's where it becomes an issue. It's going to affect, even if you got the right cone size, you're still not going to get the maximum, you know, usage out of that transducer when it does ping, because you're not getting the right power for it. And that's where it comes in so critical. I know you and I have installed a lot of those wiring harnesses, and I'm always amazed that people come back and they'll tell us beforehand, oh, I don't really have a power issue, or it can't really make that big a difference. And then you install it and then they come back and they're like, wow.
Yeah.
I can't believe that it solved all my power issues, and my graphs are so much cleaner from a perspective of what in what we're asking them to do. Now you got to have that power to do it. It's like, you know, I need more power, you know.
Yeah.
From Star Trek.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can have the right battery, but if you don't have the right source to take it from the battery to the units themselves, it does no good. It's a combination between the battery and the wiring harness that makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah, and you know, if a lot of guys are just hooking straight up to the boat's harness that's already in there, and it's not dedicated, it's ran through a couple different distribution blocks and it's cut off, it's not getting full power. So that's the first thing I start with. So if you want to get the most out of your forward facing sonar system, power, in my opinion, and I think your opinion, is the number one thing you got to start with. You start with your power source. But yeah, going back to the cone angle, 18 degree cone angle. I mean, if I'm flipping something at 25 feet, I've got, you know, 7.5 feet right there for me to hit that target. And, you know, keeping that target that's the brightest it can be, the lure and the fish, I'm usually right there within a foot. And if you got decent clarity, that fish is going to see that bait. And if it's ready to bite, it's going to come after it and you're going to see it. But I think it's critical to have the right power so you could see that fish react to your bait.
Yeah, and you learn a lot from it too, because there's days where you can see the fish and you can see your bait, and then you can see that they don't have anything to do with it either too.
Exactly.
So that's kind of key. And I think for everybody too, just so everybody understands, the narrower that cone angle, the more detailed the picture. You would think, oh, I'd want a wider so I could see more. No, it's exactly the opposite. The more narrow is, the narrow the you take the same frequency and you put it in a narrower cone angle, you're taking all that power and putting it in a smaller space, so it's giving you more detailed of a picture. And that's what we're after with it. And that's why the Lowrance has that ability to give you that forward look on it. And so that's kind of the key to it. And it just a piece of it to do it. You gotta, in case you guys don't hear, that's Archer on his rare someone came up and he people at shows don't really get to hear him ever. They always ask me, he doesn't ever bark, but he does occasionally when we're at home. And so when we're on the road and at the warehouse, he does bark a little bit. So.
Yeah. So he's like I said, I think I talked about it when we were at a show here this last week in Oklahoma City. He's a field dog. He's not a garrison dog. Right?
That's so right.
He's not good in garrison.
He's not good in garrison. He is. And that's such a true statement. But yeah, no. But yeah, that cone angle is key, I think, from that perspective. And when you're talking forward facing and you do a lot. You make your own glide baits, and I think you've really had a lot of experience with those glide baits. You know, it's very important using forward-facing sonar with those glide baits, and so you've got a lot of stuff going on to kind of learn from that. What other things? What conditions? You know, I always get asked, when do I know when I'm going to use forward-facing sonar? I got kind of times that, because I'm waiting on my new boat to come in right now, so you typically put two active targets up there, and which allows me to run one in forward and the other in scout mode. So I have my opinions on why I like scout mode. What's your kind of thoughts on scout mode? What does it kind of do for you?
Yeah, so I'm only running one active target two transducer right now, but I do switch it to scout. I got the scout mount and then I got the forward mount. So I'll switch it, but it's based on conditions and it's based on what I'm doing. And most of that is really based on the depth, the time of the year. So coming up here quick in Oklahoma and in Texas, where I'm fishing the most around this area, and I'll be in Toledo Bend here in a couple of weeks doing it, I'm probably going to be in scout mode as I'm out there looking for those beds or looking for some fish movement that are probably a little bit off the bank where you can't see them. So that's what I'm, and I can also, you know, look at those stumps or brush piles in scout mode and throw my, you know, I like to throw a spinnerbait. I'm an Oklahoma guy. So I'm going to throw a spinnerbait up there on those brush piles that you just can't see the best, get the best view out of on forward facing sonar. So I like throwing that thing in scout mode when I'm about 12 foot or less. So that's kind of my trigger to go to scout mode, and specifically like pre-spawn, spawn, and post-spawn, when those fish are really up there in the shallower, less than 15 foot range. That's kind of my trigger for that. But right now I'm still kind of in the forward, you know, facing forward mode. And I only go to down when I'm, you know, I'm really crappie fishing, or if I do go up north to Mille Lacs or some other smallmouth factory where I can get over them deep and drop shot right on them. But that's why I turned mine to scout mode, Sean.
Yeah, here's where I found scout mode to be really handy. In and around some grass, like particularly like Gunnersville. And that's really kind of when you get up a little bit shallower and you're looking for those holes in the grass, that's where it comes in handy, right? You can target, you get a kind of a bigger picture. And that's why it's kind of key having two active targets. I can have one in forward. It's kind of nice to have one in forward and one in scout. I can use that scout to scan around and see those holes in the grass, because those holes equate to shell beds, right? And so that gives you the ability to then take that forward and then hone it in where it is more specific. And the same thing, when I was up north, I would take that scout mode and I would look for those packs on the outside edges, and it helped me scan in more of like a scan mode, right? And you and I, that's what we're used to down, right? Put it in like a scan mode. You're scanning and then it's like, okay, then you go to target acquisition mode when you go to forward, right? Yep. You're like, you switching it over, which kind of brings up way that I kind of like to do from a technique, which is you get asked this question a lot. How do you mount it? I am a turret guy. I don't know how you mount it. I like to put mine on a turret because I like my trolling motor to be independent of it. What's your thoughts on it?
So I got the turret. I haven't put it on yet. I'm still running off the trolling motor shaft. And, you know, I've fished with some guys who are absolute experts with forward-facing sonar down in Texas, and that's how they do it. So I'm still kind of stuck in that. I got the turret. I'm going to use it. I'm going to try it because I can still put it on the turret and keep it where I can use the trolling motor. But I see where the turret's going to help me, especially if I'm wanting to hit anchor on the Ghost trolling motor and then scan around. If they're loaded up and they're coming through on a hump or a point, you know, moving out to their summer haunts coming up here after the post spawn. So yeah, I think there's an advantage to both of them. The one thing about having it on the shaft is one thing I tell guys, you gotta keep your foot on the trolling motor at all times. You have to. And you know, that gets tiring. So, yeah. You know, I think that's where the turret has that advantage. That's my take on it.
Yeah, I kind of like me. I've had it on the trolling motor and then I got it on the turret. There's a couple of different brands out there, but I'm particular. I like the Foresight turret. It does really well because it doesn't require a dog bone to stabilize it. So which doesn't have to be perfectly balanced. With a dog bone, it does. And you know, if you got it trying to turn that trolling motor one way or the other, it starts getting in a bind. So I like that Foresight is completely independent. It's all Bluetooth. There's no wiring to it other than just the power. And you can actually detach it completely and take it off your trolling motor if you're up shallow and heavy, thick grass and you just want to remove it and not have it sticking out there, which is really a cool deal. But I like the turret because, man, if you're fighting wind and you're trying to stay on course, I can still get, and I saw this up north, you can stay on the fish by just little movements with that turret, right? And so because up there, for some reason, they did not want to be dropped straight down on. They wanted to be cast to, so it was so important to be stayed back off of them and being able to cast right to them. And so I think from a perspective of that, that's where I found the turret was such a cool deal. And I think it's kind of the good tool for that. I think a lot of people don't like it on a turret because of what I just talked about, that if you get up in grass or things like that, there's just more things for it to kind of hang on to. But that's where I think that the part with the Foresight is really cool because you can actually detach it and remove it pretty easy. I mean, it's just one little screw that undoes and comes off and lays on the deck of the boat. So it's really, really cool. Melts up there really cool with that. And the other thing too is I should do some prototype testing for Amp Marine for some clamps that just slip on and secure your active target cables to the shaft of that Foresight. And this is what a lot of people don't know is really important that you don't damage those cables to your active target, right? So you can't zip tie them. You got to make sure they're free flowing. You know, you don't want anything to cut into those cables at all.
Yeah, that's another great point. Yeah, I've installed a lot of systems and a lot of different electronics for people over the years, and I got away from zip ties probably over about a decade ago. And I went to, you know, black electrical tape and then also, you know, other different types of harnesses. But I think one of the best things that's worked for me is Velcro. Velcro straps, the Velcro zip ties, those work perfect.
Yeah. You have to get to some of the Amp Marine ones because they actually clip on and then they're actually... Some. They're free flow. The cable is actually free floating through the portion, and so there's nothing touching it at all, which is really, really cool.
Yeah, send me some, Sean.
that's what's really cool with that. So I think that setup with the turret, and then you add the forward facing in there. With that allows you to do it. You know, a lot more minute adjustments with that narrower cone angle is really what makes it even. You're even able to go more detailed with it because then you can make, here's what's really cool. I tell this story, you know, the boys were with me this summer and we were fishing and they had not really experienced that forward facing sonar. Right. And we go fishing and we get out there and we get to catching them. And I'm trying, you know how it is. You got boys too, right? We're always trying to get them to experience and have fun. And, you know, I'm like, there's a fish right there, Ethan, throw it right there. You know, I think I told James right there, right? And I just happened to have I had thrown over there with I think it may have been a Carolina rig. I don't remember what a Carolina rig or a jig. I don't remember because I could see this brush pile and I could see this big old fish on this thing, but I wasn't even trying to catch it, right? And like I let it, like I wouldn't even like pull it up to the brush pile when I saw it. But the boat is like the cool thing with the turret is the boat is completely side, you know, alongside of this brush pile because I'm able to turn that turret and see to the side of the boat, right? So that was, I was like, there's a big, and they're like, yeah, right, Dad. So finally they can't get it. So finally I pulled that Carolina rig up to that brush pile, and it was like a 6-pounder. And they were like, their mouths were like wide open. I'm like, I told you there was a big fish there. You just had to throw right there. I said, throw right there. And that's all you had to do. So it was funny, but cool. But in final, as we talk about active target, forward facing sonar, the only thing that I'm kind of interested in and I haven't seen, I've seen a lot of guys that are putting it on the back of their boat. So that's kind of something that maybe that I look at in the future. I don't know about you.
I'm doing it. I've got a buddy who's going to make me a certain bracket for it, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. I want to try it. I want to see what I can do with it. I want to use the technology to the best advantage I can, but you know, I like to idle. I'm still old school. I still like 2D. I still like down imaging. I still like side scan. And I want to see what that looks like and what picture that's going to give me when I'm idling around looking for spots, right? So I'm looking for structure or even seeing, you know, what that side scan looks like, brush piles, rock piles, whatever. And then if there's fish on it and those little dots and shadows you see, I can look on that active target that's on the back of my boat and go, yep, that's bass, or nope, that's a drum. That's a, you know, a bunch of crappie or white bass or whatever. And I can eliminate a bunch of areas. Really, it's going to save me a lot of time, make me more efficient, because I just don't have all that time. You know, I don't have days to just go out and spend on the water. I might get a couple hours and you got to make the most of it. I think that's where, for me, it's going to come in handy.
Yeah, I'm excited. And I may end up with like three active targets on the boat. I don't know. I may just go to one in front and one on the back. I hadn't made up my mind yet. That's kind of a tough decision for me. But I kind of want to look at that on the new boat, the new Skeeter FXR I'm gonna have coming here real soon, and just kind of going from there. But, you know, it's been fun talking about this topic because it's not going anywhere. I mean, it's here to stay. As much as people, you know, either adapt or, you know, get left behind. And we've seen it our whole military career, you know, the guys who can't adapt, they end up washing out or whatever. Technology is going to continue to change. And it's only a tool. You still got to go out. You still got to catch them. You got to learn how to use them. I mean, I'm sure there were things before, you know, when we got, you know, the things that we have, other things that we have on the boat, everybody said, oh, it's going to ruin bass fishing. You know, everybody said that power poles, they were, you know, all these things that we have, it's all been tools, and you just got to make them put together, and it's how you use them. And forward facing sonar is nothing, no different to that. And so, you know, for the listeners, we're going to have to, you know, say for us, it's a must. I mean, I love it. I don't think it takes anything away from fishing. I think it's part of the arsenal now, and it's just an arsenal. It's a tool. You got to learn how to use it. You just like you learn how to use everything else. I mean, when you learn how to throw a rod and reel, it took time so to figure that part out. So do the same thing with your electronics, and I think that's important. I know, Brent, it's cool to talk this topic with you. I know we're going to get some other topics that's discussed, but this is kind of what we wanted to do with this podcast, to talk some of the stuff that this topics in the industries or things from the show. I know we want to bring on, you and I talked this past weekend, we're going to get somebody from Lowrance to come on and talk bigger picture from Lowrance.
Yeah.
And that's going to be really cool to have that discussion. And I think that's a lot of fun to have those type of discussions. So I really appreciate you being on with me today and jumping on. You know, we got coming up, we're actually filming a hog show this week and hog hunting. And next week, Brent and I are going to be down in Toledo Bend for the Tovey Texas Oilman's Bass Invitational, which benefits the Texas Children's Hospital. And that's always a lot of fun to be a part of that and raise money for such a great event. And Brent and I are going to get to do a little bit of bass fishing while we're down there, which is going to be a lot of fun, because I would tell you, I have not got to wet a line in 2024 yet because I have been busy as all get out. So I'm super excited. I don't know about you, Brent, but I am.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love Toledo.
Yeah, that's where I won my first Force on Force championship down there. So it's, I got a lot of memories out of Cypress Bend Park down there. So it's going to be a lot of fun, but I appreciate it. Hey, if you guys want to know more about Army Bass Anglers, Buck Bass, Hog, or Duck, you know, go to ForceOnForceTV.com. Thanks for listening, and Brent, appreciate you being a part of it. Cool?
Yeah, absolutely. Cool.
Thanks for listening to the Force on Force podcast. Join us next time as we dive into more topics from the Force on Force talk. For more information or to learn how to join the organization, visit our website at ForceOnForceTV.com.